Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mod Pod with Fukunaga,
a podcast that celebrates the strength and pulse of the luxury market. And now, here's your host, Vanessa Fukunaga.
And today is a special episode because of you. Let's start with you, Mette Ilse Jones, who is a professional polo player, life coach, photographer. We'll go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, Vanessa.
And actually, it's special because we're in Ciudad de Mexico. Normally, yeah. I'm doing it in Los Cabos. And this is actually my 40th episode.
40th?
Wow. 40th, 40.
Wow.
So I should be better than this. That's what I told my team. I really have to amp it up.
No, wow. So, I didn't know that.
Yes, it's a very special episode. So let's start. Empezamos con un salud. Mimosas.
Cheers. Salud.
Salud. Salud. Okay, not a bad way to start the day.
They're very good.
Okay, they are good. So tell me, you're a professional polo player from Peru. Tell me about growing up in Peru.
Well, when I was 15, I started playing polo. It was like a disease. When I started, voy a empezar a hablar un poquito, un mix.
En español está bien. Yo entiendo todo.
Cuando empecé, fue como si algo me picó y nunca paré.
Oh.
Nunca paré. A tal punto que yo terminé estudiando veterinaria y zootecnia.
Gosh, okay. Por supuesto, más. Ajá.
Entonces quería como englobar un poco todo. Uh-huh. Y los caballos siempre fueron mi pasión y son mi pasión. La verdad que viajé mucho por el polo, trabajando en diferentes países. Viví en Chile, en Santiago, uh-huh. 2 años, en una organización increíble de una familia muy linda que se apellía la familia Silva. Uh-huh. Y siempre me gustó mucho viajar. Me gustó mucho viajar y siempre tenía también en paralelo esta habilidad social que toda la gente cercana siempre me decía que tenía que potenciarla. Y así es como decidí, cuando llegué a México, emprender el tema del coaching. And I'm so glad to become or to discover this world because I love it. I love to help people to understand how they relate with other people because of what they lived in the past or with his parents or I don't know.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like it's going to be a life coach session. We'll get into a little bit.
Yeah.
So it is not normal that, no, it's normal that every 15-year-old gets to play polo. How did you really start? Did you go to a polo field, or what was your first introduction to polo?
Well, my family have like a family field, mm-hmm. In the south coast of Peru, mm-hmm. It's called Chincha, and we are very close to a family that is like my family. Mm-hmm. They are the Macias family, and they introduced me to the polo because they have this polo organization with all the breeding parts and reproduction and all the circus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started there. And as I was telling you, I start and then
fell in love.
Fell in love.
Kind of like with Ariana.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in just a minute.
That's a very fun part, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're 15, you're playing polo and traveling all around the world. How did you come to Mexico? Did you have a match here or
no.
What really, really brought you to also live here?
I returned to Peru when I was in Chile. Mm-hmm. And when I arrived to Peru, we have the pandemic.
And I never heard of it. What?
And I stayed in
Peru. Did something happen?
Yeah. I stayed in Peru 2 years, uh-huh. Working in a racehorse breeding organization. Uh-huh. And then I don't know why I wanted to travel again and to go a different place and see different places and know different people. And Mexico was like one of the main countries that que la pandemia no lo afectó tanto, o sea, no fue tan rígidos con las restricciones. Y siempre me llamó.
No te decía nada.
Siempre me llamó mucho la atención México, mucho, mucho, mucho. Ajá. En todo sentido, los lugares, lo cosmopolita que era. Y las oportunidades que habían post pandemia. Uh-huh. Y simplemente me quería ir de Perú nuevamente. Entonces le dije a Oriana, nos vamos. Y Oriana me dijo, nos vamos feliz.
Aww.
Yes. The 1st of February, we have 1 year.
Oh, yeah. That's so sweet. Yeah. When you're engaged or juntos?
No. We're boyfriends, and then here.
Oh, for here, yeah.
In
yeah.
Cabos, we get engaged.
That's right. That's so cute.
Yeah.
So tell me about the horses, because you weren't just being a polo player. You said you studied to be a veterinarian, and were you doing training on the horses as well?
Yeah, I focus in all the process of the horse, in the breeding part, in the reproduction part, in the feeding part, in the training. I love all the 360. That's why I always, that's my main passion, like mm-hmm. to work with young horses. I don't know how to say in English, doma. It's like when you put for first time the saddle in. Mm-hmm.
Do they call it break? When you break
yeah,
a horse?
I think that, well.
That doesn't sound very nice, but I think it's yeah, part of the training.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's like the beginning of mm-hmm. of that process of the horse. Mm-hmm. No? And that was like another window, that it's another world, that if I have the passion here, it was like here.
Do you think all of that helped you? Because not every polo player is...
No.
You know, learning all aspects of a horse. It must get you even closer to...
Yeah, most of the players like only play, love the sport. I love the sport. I love mm-hmm. to play polo. But my passion is the horse.
Oh, and, my gosh.
And all that relates with the horse.
Have you had one special horse your whole
yes.
life?
Yes, I have one female in Peru. It was a racehorse, but... She mm-hmm. didn't race, and I make like all this process, and I put in practice all this learning from all these years
with her.
Yes.
What's her name?
Sinfonía.
Sinfonía.
Yes, I have an Instagram that I like put all the videos of all her process. It was, I love her. Yeah. Yeah. It was.
How old is she?
She's 4 years old.
Oh, yeah. Young.
Very young.
What is the lifespan of a horse typically?
Well, they start like to play like in a competition, mm-hmm. Like 5-6 years mm-hmm. till 17, 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you often go back to visit her?
No, no. I haven't seen her in a while. Yeah.
Does she know your face? Your smell, your voice, or all of it, do you think?
I hope.
All of it?
Well,
can you call her name and she'll come?
In that moment, yes, but mm-hmm. I haven't seen her in like 2 years.
She will remember.
I don't know. I hope.
So you're still playing polo?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm playing in Querétaro with a guy that hired me to play with him. And it's very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say in Querétaro, does that mean just in Querétaro, or do you still travel around?
Well, playing? I was making like paddle lessons in Tecamac, is like an hour from here. Mm-hmm. There is one of the main clubs, polo clubs. I don't know if that's the oldest one, but the best polo is there. Mm-hmm. And, but then, I don't know, in Mexico, you have a lot of polo, but you have decentralizado.
Disinterest, right? They're not interested?
No. Oh. It's like you have, it's not, you don't have like in one place only, like here's all the polo life, all the best polo is in one place. You have in many different parts of Mexico.
Okay.
A bunch of different type of clubs, mm-hmm. polo clubs. Now I'm playing like, or based mm-hmm. my polo in Querétaro.
And so do you always ride the same horses, or how does that work?
No.
Can you tell, even though I feel like I am dressed like I'm going to a polo show? Did you see that?
Yeah, I have all the outfits.
Yes,
yeah.
But I literally have no idea. But you know, polo is a big thing with Engel and Volkers.
Exactly, yeah.
Christian Volkers plays polo.
Totally.
He has his finca in Mallorca.
And they have like in different parts of the world, they have like the Engel and Volkers Cup.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? When we first met, we were talking about that.
Exactly,
I couldn't
yeah.
believe that. So, but tell me, so you're playing, even like I said, even though I feel like I'm dressed like for the polo day, I don't know how it works. So do you ride the same horses, or?
You play like between 5 or 6 horses per player.
Mm-hmm.
You have 4 players per team. And you change it like each 7 minutes. Each time mm-hmm. it calls chucker.
Mm-hmm.
It's like between 4 or 6 chuckers. Depends on the level or the amount of horses that mm-hmm. that each player have.
And so do you, when you're traveling around the world, do you travel with your horses? Or do they have horses there?
It depends.
I literally have no idea how that works.
It depends. In the mm-hmm. in the high professional or high level,
mm-hmm.
you travel with all your best horses to mm-hmm. play for a guy that pays you, with all the organization, mm-hmm. all the people that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Argentina is like the main place where the best polo is, the best players all around the world, and the best horses. And when they get hired from a guy that, I don't know, that like the best polo in the world, or the polo season, the best polo season is like, it starts, well, now in Wellington in Florida,
mm-hmm.
then in England,
mm-hmm.
Soto Grande in Spain,
mm-hmm.
and well, the Argentina, like the high season mm-hmm. that starts in like August or September till December,
mm-hmm.
and the best tournament in the whole world is a Triple Crown in Argentina. That you have the Argentina Open, that is Tortugas is a club,
mm-hmm.
Hurlingham, and then Palermo.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the middle of Buenos Aires.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Why do you think, why is Argentina your favorite place? Even though you think it's the favorite place in the world, why is it your favorite place for polo?
Because the country is like made for horses.
That's a great thing to say.
Yeah, because it's all like, how do you say, like flat.
Uh-huh.
All the country is flat.
Uh-huh.
It's called a pampa. A pampa is, it's all pampa. It's, and it gets rain and everything takes green. If you don't have money and you can like have a horse, you can leave it in the field and he will never die. I don't know. And they have like de cultura ecuestre, de mucho, I don't know, the kids go to school in horses. It's like,
what?
Yeah, it's very, all this lifestyle with a horse in Argentina is very strong, very powerful. I don't know, it's a lifestyle. If you are in this world, Argentina is the main one.
Interesting. So your connection to horses, though, I mean, obviously you can tell by the way the type of person you are. You have a really interesting connection with people and obviously horses. It's clearly made you a better polo player.
Well, yeah, the connection with horses and animals and nature, it's one of the main tools for being present, like, and the connection with people too. I don't know, when I was a kid, I always were related with nature, and all my family works in agriculture, and I don't know, I all my life I've been in contact with nature, and I see myself like when I listen to people or see the different details, it's like, I'm going to talk in Spanish.
Sí, because, no, está bien.
La naturaleza y los animales y ese contacto te hace estar muy presente en el momento, en saber realmente. Vivimos en una era o una época en la que the cell phone or the Instagram or you always are like seeing if, I don't know, you are disconnected from yourself. And I don't know, that helps me a lot in all the coaching world and to improve myself, like being a good listener or to see the world like in, how do you say, like in a big picture or the perspective. Yes, I don't know. That's why I have this type of personality too. It's in my blood.
You can tell. You can definitely tell.
Yeah.
So tell me about, I mean, it seems like it's in your nature to kind of be that life coach or to help people. Mm-hmm. How did you turn it into being an actual life coach? Because I bet you were giving advice before you actually said, I'll be a life coach.
Toda la gente que me conoce siempre me pedían, desde personas mucho mayores que yo, me pedían consejos para cómo manejar situaciones con otras personas. O sea, al final somos seres humanos que nos relacionamos. O sea, siempre nos vamos a relacionar. Y cuando tú entiendes de dónde es que vienen ciertos patrones de conducta o forma de ser, siempre vienen amarrados a cosas que ya viviste, y en base a eso es cómo tú te relacionas. Y en mí siempre fue muy natural el ver eso y entenderlo. Entonces, al yo tener esto de forma natural, dije, lo tengo que poner en práctica y tengo que aprovecharlo. Porque lo disfruto mucho y me gusta muchísimo. Y la verdad que tomé la decisión y me certifiqué como coach y me especialicé en todo lo que son relaciones, en cómo nos relacionamos. Y el ayudar a gente a que entienda eso es hacer que la gente sea feliz. Y para mí eso no tiene precio. Me encanta.
Oh my gosh. How do you consider doing as a life coach? Do people kind of work with you for a period of time, or is it kind of you're a life coach and we are just going to always be in contact? How does that even work?
Well, I always wanted to make this connection. You have to be professional, and like I always wanted to help. You have to put limits too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to message you at 12 o'clock at night saying I'm having a disaster.
No.
Ariana's like, hang up.
Because you have to put the tools to make it happen. I don't know, to use these tools to improve yourself and to manage situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not... lo peor que puede hacer un coach es darle las soluciones de cómo hacerlo, es las herramientas para cómo hacerlo y que se sometan a esas situaciones y que lo vivan. Una vez que lo viven, es como si una ventana se abre y descubres y dices, no era tan difícil. Simplemente que es el salir del lugar de confort o romper con estos patrones de generaciones anteriores. Nuestros papás, nuestros padres vivieron cosas que nuestros abuelos se lo trasladaron y que sin darse cuenta lo siguen trasladando a las generaciones más jóvenes, ¿no? Y yo siempre, por eso es que siempre digo a la gente de mi generación, menores, y depende de nosotros hacer el cambio, porque estamos en un mundo en el que ya no sentir está bien. No es criticado. Antes, o sea, nuestros papás o nuestros abuelos, el expresar sentimientos era debilidad. Estaba mal visto, era como eres débil. Y eso se marca mucho en estas generaciones de las cuales son víctimas de lo que vivieron las generaciones anteriores. I don't know if you...
I did understand. Yes, so I will explain because and show you that I did understand. So that is the trick. You're giving people the tools because you don't want people... You're not supposed to be the solution.
Exactly.
You're supposed to give them the tools to help themselves.
Exactly.
What kinds of things... And you were saying that, you know, you're having to overcome the feelings of, you know, your grandparents and their grandparents and everything that kind of is instilled in... you and your family. What kinds of things did you have to overcome? Was it like that in your family where, you know, you looked weak if you were showing emotion, or was your family very different than that? Or how was it in your family?
Yo tuve mucha suerte porque mi familia, en verdad, yo considero que es increíble. Y nos dieron un balance, mis padres nos dieron a mí, a mis hermanos, somos cuatro hermanos contándome a mí. Y creo que nos dieron un balance de educación increíble y de mucha libertad, con mucho amor. Siempre hay cositas que de las cuales uno tiene que trabajar, que por ahí tus papás no se dan cuenta que generaban eso. Pero cuando lo identificas y lo trabajas, que yo, en comparación al común denominador de las personas, me considero un afortunado. Por algo estoy acá hablando del tema. Y yo decidí sanar todo lo que implicaba la relación con mi familia. Yo soy como un clon de mi papá. And like, the same shit. y fue un proceso increíble, muy lindo, porque era como un espejo de los dos lados. Yo me veía en él y él se veía en mí. Y hace poco tuve una llamada con mi papá que yo le conté cuál era mi análisis de lo que había sido mi vida en base a él. Y decidí ser mejor persona, corregir por ahí esas trabas que él había tenido y potenciar las cosas buenas que tiene millones de cosas. Mi papá es increíble. Y con mi mamá también. Mi mamá siempre fue la muy protectora, mucho amor, la educadora, very straight. strict, sorry. Y yo decidí romper con ese patrón y decirles mi análisis y cómo yo había mejorado, y se lo agradecí. Le dije, quiero contarte cuál es mi análisis, y estoy demasiado agradecido por todo lo que me dieron. Y ahí es donde entendí el poder que tenemos los de las personas de nuestra generación de realmente eso. Nuestros papás dedican el 80% de su vida a criar a sus hijos. Uh-huh. Y que un hijo le diga a su papá, gracias por todo lo que me diste, es como, puedo morir tranquilo, ¿no? Y es como, yo creo que es una felicidad que no se la quita a nadie. Uh-huh. Sí.
It is interesting if you can separate yourself and really start to look inside and analyze, like, yes, how you grew up and the things you do want to improve. I mean, I think about that. I would think everybody's kind of thinking about that.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Very, very interesting. So in today's world, when you think about kind of the future, what kinds of things would you instill in your kids?
One of the things that I'm like working a lot, it's my relationship with Oriana. I want that my kids see like this perfect balance of kindness, and like they have to know their place and our place. Mi relación con Oriana, yo creo que también me considero un afortunado de que estemos juntos ahora, porque nosotros terminamos, cuando yo me fui a vivir a Chile, terminamos por 2 años. Y ahí yo regreso a Perú y regresamos, y fue, ahí es donde yo siempre digo que es increíble cómo las cosas, cuando tienen que ser, son. Y no hay que luchar en contra de la vida.
Wow.
Oriana regresó a mi vida y yo regresé a la suya en el momento perfecto, en el que yo trabajé mucho en mí y ella en ella. Uh-huh. Y dijimos, sí, queremos esto y hacerlo lo mejor posible. Y desarrollamos todos estos mecanismos para que cualquier situación en la vida que venga no nos derrumbe por nada. Y el realmente potenciar esa pareja y esa solidez de pareja para, o sea, que sea sostenible en el tiempo de forma infinita, ¿no? Entonces, que para mí es básicamente el ego y el orgullo es uno de los principales tóxicos. Lo digo mucho en mis videos y en podcast, porque como venimos de estos patrones que te comentaba del pasado, el sentir era debilidad, y este esquema o este tradicionalismo, machismo, el hombre, si expresa sentimientos, es débil o es menos hombre, y es la tontería más grande del mundo. Y yo, el hombre normalmente se guarda muchas cosas de las que realmente siente. Y yo dije, tenemos que, si es que Oriana tiene un punto que me tiene que decir, no tengo por qué justificarme, simplemente tengo que escuchar, y por ahí hay algo de lo que ella me está diciendo que no vi. Entonces, tener esa apertura y esa apertura para escuchar. Y si es que uno comete el error y sabe que está mal, decir, sorry, it's my fault, it's not yours. Y ese problema que se puede solucionar en 5 minutos, se puede convertir en un problema que por orgullo y ego demora una semana.
Yeah.
Y esto va a venir toda la vida.
Yeah.
Toda la vida te va a pasar eso. No existe la pareja perfecta que no discuten. Tenemos que discutir porque así evolucionamos.
Yes.
Y ese canal de comunicación, porque yo también, una de las cosas de mis mantras de vida es, tan importante como decir las cosas es cómo decirlas. el mundo se divide en dos tipos de personas. Las personas que no dicen las cosas o no dicen lo que sienten por evitar el momento incómodo, uh-huh, y se van acumulando y acumulando y acumulando. Y las personas que sí lo dicen, pero lo dicen sin filtro y, en el estado de ánima pésimo, las palabras que no son las correctas, uh-huh, inmediatamente te pones a la defensiva y es como que te tienes que justificar o pelear, ¿no? Uh-huh. Y eso son mecanismos o herramientas de las cuales creo que todas las parejas tienen que trabajar en eso, uh-huh, porque es lo que va a venir toda la vida. Entonces, ¿qué es lo mejor para manejar esto? Canal de comunicación, el orgullo y el ego tienen que desaparecer o controlarse. Uh-huh. Y realmente querer hacerlo. Uh-huh. Si queremos esto, el compromiso de decir, ok, sí quiero esto y lo quiero para toda la vida. Entonces, todo lo que implica eso es y eso es lo que quiero que mis hijos vean. Porque eso es el que no tengan miedo de contarnos lo que quieran, lo que sean, y que vean esta pareja como, a eso quiero apuntar.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What? This is why you're such an amazing person. This is why everybody needs to just sit and listen to you. Because don't you think those lessons, though, are not just about your significant other? It's how you deal with your kids. Yeah. Needing and wanting to listen to each other.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, and obviously nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. But, you know, sometimes I would say to somebody, it's not, the end goal shouldn't be to be right. It should be to make things better.
Exactly.
Don't just try to win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That doesn't help us.
Yeah.
So how do we figure it out together?
Yeah.
Because that's for like friends, colleagues.
And we have to understand why the people are like the stupid guy is stupid because
there's a reason.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's, I'm going to explain. Sorry.
No,
for
no,
my
no,
English.
No, no,
sorry.
No, está bien.
El rencoroso, el tonto, eso es algo por, tiene una razón por, mm-hmm, la cual es así, es un mecanismo de defensa. Mm-hmm. Pero cuando nosotros evolucionamos es, okay, entiendo, y no voy a caer en su mecanismo de defensa para, uh-huh, que yo sea víctima de eso. Entonces, el primer paso es entender, y cuando tú entiendes, dejas de juzgar. Uh-huh. Al dejar de juzgar es realmente un primer paso para que tu vida sea mucho más feliz y te relaciones y no seas víctima de el pasado de otros.
Exacto, las cosas malas de los otros.
Exactamente.
Personas. Yes, I like to keep negativity away.
Exactly.
Yes, I just want positivity. But I think it works if everybody could be like this. Do you know what I mean? These are life lessons. See, this is why you're a life coach.
Yeah.
But it's true, you know, like I said, with your kids, with your family, with your friends, with, you know, the person that's checking you in at the hotel.
Exactly.
With the you know, the
each
driver,
that,
everybody,
yeah,
is a, if you have kind of like a different compassion that they're also a human being, they've had a life before, I'm sure,
exactly,
they're having their reasons.
Yeah.
And if they want to have maybe a bad moment, you don't have to be a victim to that moment. You can let it go and walk away, or,
exactly,
depending on the importance of that person,
exactly,
talk through it.
Yeah,
I remember the kind of like the first time, but we were talking about parents, but also seeing people in a different way. The first time that you kind of realize that your parents are not just your parents, but they're actual people. Do you know what I mean? That they're,
yeah,
actual like people with a life that have their own needs and wants.
Yeah.
And that change in me when I saw them differently, like it wasn't just all about being, you know, the mom or the dad, that they,
yeah,
you know, were their own people. It's like you just see things, people through a different lens.
Eso es un punto de madurez, de nuevamente entender y separar. Sí, son mis papás, ellos me criaron, uh-huh, pero hay un punto en el que si decides ser grande o maduro, uh-huh, y someterte a la vida real, que creo que ese es uno de los principios. O sea, muchos papás cometen ese error, más papás sudamericanos.
No.
que tratan de... O sea, dan amor justamente solucionándoles la vida y no sometiéndolos a la vida real. Uh-huh. A darle herramientas para lo que les venga en el futuro. O sea, desde, no sé, el hecho de decirle, no, la vida no es así, tranquilo, yo te lo soluciono. Uh-huh. Nunca van a tener esas herramientas para realmente salir y someterse y que no... Y de ahí regresen y digan, me pasó esto y tú nunca me dijiste, uh-huh, que era así la vida. Uh-huh. ¿No? Por eso es que también me considero un afortunado, porque mis papás nos prepararon a mí y a mis hermanos para la vida, para ganarse, para realmente ganarse las cosas, para saber que si es que tú pedías algo, te lo tienes que ganar y no pedir cosas simplemente por pedir. Uh-huh. Bueno, y eso también, el contraste con diferentes personas de cualquier nivel socioeconómico, de cualquier raza o lo que sea, siempre todos somos diferentes y el poder manejarte acá o acá, uh-huh, es este, nos hizo hiperadaptables para el mundo. Uh-huh. Esa creo que es la palabra.
These are great words and great mantras for everybody. I wish everybody were kind of thinking that same way. Like it is difficult when you see other people, like they're having a moment, uh-huh, and their pride or their ego, they can't even step back to, yeah, find a solution because they're just in the blocked, moment, yeah, or getting hurt or blocked, or they, you know, are defensive. But yes, I think when people, like you said, kind of shed those the feelings of the past, of feeling like it makes you weak, but being, I think it makes you stronger to be able to,
yeah,
find a solution.
Totally, yeah.
I'm always the one that likes to make it better. You know, when you have a fight, you are? Yeah, oh my gosh. But a lot of guys, don't you think a lot of men like to go away?
Of course,
they,
yeah,
don't want the conflict.
Yeah, they don't want to see, yeah, like this part of their lives, or I don't know. Okay, no. And then they, yeah, want to see too.
You find that women typically want to talk it through.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm stereotypical in that. I like to talk it through and make it better.
Yeah. Well, I was that guy
that, like, would walk away.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like 8 years ago, uh-huh, or.
And now I can't get him to stop talking.
es súper común porque así nos criaron. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Obviamente yo fui víctima de eso porque es lo que, si tú te crías en un entorno que es lo normal, uh-huh, es lo que haces. Uh-huh. Pero cuando empiezas a evolucionar y a ver cómo las cosas que no te gustan de ti, y a qué están conectadas, es donde vas entendiendo, y eso es evolucionar y eso es madurar. Uh-huh. Y por eso es que creo que en el mundo en el que vivimos, que todo es tan superficial y todo es no sé, saciar la necesidad lo más rápido posible, o cuántos likes tienes o cuánto, uh-huh, y no realmente enfocarse en uno mismo, en decir, quiero entender realmente, uh-huh, quién soy, el poder curar estas heridas del pasado y eso es vivir, o sea, eso es enfocarte en cómo vivir una vida más feliz. Uh-huh. Y eso falta mucho acá. Vivimos en un mundo mucho más de vivir el momento y de la satisfacción del segundo. Uh-huh. Y no de decir, ok, quiero armar un proyecto para ser feliz toda mi vida, ¿no?
But it's true, don't you think? When you get rid of all of that and you can kind of open up and release and you have the negativity gone. Because I think that people don't even realize that they hold on to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? If something they're having, like a situation, that negativity, if they're not able to have the tools to get through it,
yeah,
get past it, or be in the moment and enjoy, all of that does stay inside,
yeah,
you. My gosh, I feel like this wasn't even a podcast. It has been like a, you know, my life session. My life session. Okay, so tell me, now with all of this, what is your next chapter?
Well, I've made three chapters. The idea of my podcast is to talk with different type of people from different generations. Mm-hmm. The first one I made was I made it with mi suegra, Oriana's mother.
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting. Well, I'm like learning all this. How do you say? Like, I'm not like a tech guy with all this Instagram and nunca me ha gustado.
Para intentar.
O sea, verme como yo grabándome a mí hablando.
Sure.
No sé, como que no, nunca me gustó mucho, pero he tenido que nuevamente evolucionar y salir de mi lugar de confort. Me encanta este tipo de cosas. Es a lo que quiero aspirar. A esto voy a llegar. y he hecho, sí, 4 podcasts. El primero fue con mi suegra.
Ajá. Uh-huh.
Y hablamos de relaciones. La historia de mi suegra es súper interesante porque su esposo murió hace 8 años.
Uh-huh.
Y era una pareja increíble, increíble. Y yo aprendí mucho de ellos, muchísimo. Y Maite le dicen, da un enfoque increíble de una persona de una generación mayor a la mía, pero con una cabeza de alguien de ahora.
Wow.
Y que creo que me encantó haber hecho ese podcast porque pone en vitrina a alguien con una apertura mental increíble de una generación anterior y que educa muchísimo a la gente de su generación. Y los otros podcasts han sido basados en temas que, por ejemplo, la idealización, la claridad, la importancia de la claridad, que es, creo que uno de los poderes más grandes que hay.
Uh-huh.
Cuando realmente tienes la fuerza de entender lo importante que es la claridad en las relaciones, en cualquier tipo de relación social.
Very true. Very
sí.
True. Imagínate cómo tú vas a cambiar el mundo. ¡Es la verdad!
Ojalá, sí. Tengo que romper con estos esquemas de grabarme y que... porque tengo que crear todo este contenido del cual nunca me gustó yo ser el protagonista principal y que yo me grabe a mí mismo.
Sí, pero nadie es perfecto.
No, yo sé.
This is why, right?
Totalmente. Y la vida dijo, es lo que te toca.
Exactly. Sí. It's what makes people real.
Exactly.
This is why you are who you are. I cannot believe... So we met through Andy.
Exactly.
How did you meet Andy, by the way?
Do
you remember?
Because of Oriana met him in an event. I don't know.
Is it crazy the way life takes you or the people that you meet?
Yeah, Andy is an awesome friend. He's like
an amazing person.
Amazing person.
Andy Sim, Jotas Articulas. He is beyond.
Yes, he's a very, very nice guy. And it's like, él nos ha apoyado muchísimo y nos ha querido ayudar. A Oriana siempre ha estado apoyándola muchísimo y estoy muy, muy agradecido, Andy. Gracias por todo.
He's generous, kind. He's one of those people like you, honestly. You know when you meet somebody and they just are genuine and honest and real and they don't have an agenda and you know just all of those characteristics
and he don't want anything
in return
it's a very nice guy
he's wonderful. So now that we've had our my life session, by the way, we'll do this again but off camera. Oh, do I have to pay? No, make a deal later. Okay.
No, we have to do another one.
Yes.
But like totally focus on you.
Yes, but without cameras.
No, yeah, with cameras.
Oh, with cameras. All right. You're right. Yeah. Listen, what I've done on camera, I'm happy to share with the world because nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
Exactly.
I like it.
Exactly.
So we always have a Mod Pod experience, which is just some kind of activity. So since today has been all about what I feel, I didn't even mean for it to be, but I feel like it has been a session for me. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
And I just want you to say kind of rapidísimo.
Okay.
The first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Even though, like, I don't know what your tricks are to get people to start to open up, but I'm gonna hopefully start to get you to open up with me even more. Okay, so just quickly, just like the things that come, you can do one word, a few words. If somebody asks you what the meaning of life?
Clarity.
Mm-hmm. Family?
Love.
Oh my gosh. What do you want to give to others?
Understanding.
Your favorite place in the world?
I don't know. With Ariana.
Oh my God. I should really end on that one. That was a good one. Okay. Fears?
I don't know.
That's probably good. You don't have to be afraid. Maybe that's the answer. There is that, you know, you're not afraid to fail.
I love to be afraid because I always want to improve myself and I don't know, like, confront the fear. That's what I was doing the past 4 years of my life, yeah.
And lastly, what do you wish for?
Be happy.
That's wonderful. With that, Mateo, oh my gosh.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Vanessa.
You, muchísimas gracias.
It was wonderful.
Increíble placer. Gracias a ustedes también. And for more podcasts with Mod Pod with Fukunaga, check all of your favorite podcast channels. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh.
Thanks for listening to Mod Pod with Fukunaga. Follow the episodes on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and many more.